do that, I'm going to introduce our guest, who is Heiko Koo, who's a tour guide and a historian, and he's here to talk about the Karl Marx walking tour, which I presume ends up in Highgate Cemetery, but, you know, one can only guess. Welcome to the show, sir.
Hi, Hayden.
Now, given that he ended up in Highgate Cemetery, I suppose that was a sort of a logical conclusion. But where does your tour start and end?
No, we start at Piccadilly Circus and we end in the British Museum or in Greek Street.
OK, so it's essentially a Soho Marx
tour.
Yeah,
too far to walk to Highgate.
Yeah, well, it's a steep hill. That one is properly a steep hill going up to the Highgate Cemetery.
Yeah.
How long did much of Marx's life did he live in that little kind of radius of London, would you say?
He lived there for 6 years, but he lived in London for half his life.
Right. And so talk me through the tour a bit. You say you begin at Piccadilly Circus. What's the Karl Marx Association there?
Well, just around the corner from Piccadilly Circus is Great Windmill Street, and the pub called, or the cocktail bar called, the Beat One, used to be called the Red Lion Pub.
Yeah, I know the pub, or knew the pub.
Yeah, and it's that's where they commissioned the Communist Manifesto. So it's kind of where...
Well, modern, in the pub?
There was a meeting held there for 9 days in 1847,
right.
Where the Communist League commissioned the Communist Manifesto, and Marx and Engels were both at that meeting and sort of convinced the group to adopt this body of ideas.
Okay. And so where do you... Talk us through the walk from there. Where would you progress from there?
Well, we go round to Rupert Street, where there's a building that used to be one of the headquarters of the Paris Commune in exile. So in 1871, there was an uprising in Paris that followed a war, and the exiles arrived in London as refugees, and, you know, Marx and others helped them to sort of settle in London and find their...
And did they have what, a sort of a meeting house for sedition?
Yeah, they had a house where they drank and argued and debated and had a collective kitchen and read newspapers, that sort of thing.
Oh, fantastic. I didn't know. That would have been a completely new one on me, I have to say. I mean, obviously Marx has his blue plaque in Dean Street. Mm. What's the situation with the garret itself up there at the moment?
There's a room there that they do rent out, but it's not actually, you know, it doesn't resemble anything to do with the way it would have looked in those days.
But it is the physical space that he would have been in.
Yeah, the physical space is there, but it's, you know, it's been all been rearranged and all the rest of it, so it's not really, you know, you can't see much of it there. But I have had some people ask to do some events in there, but as yet we haven't done anything.
It's part of Quo Vadis, isn't it?
Yeah, that's right, yeah.
Mm-hmm. When you talk, what sorts of people tend to come on these tours? Is it Marxists, so to speak? Is it? Well, I mean, who would you say comes along?
You've got a real mixed bag. So some people have come along and they've been on, like, Jack the Ripper tour yesterday.
Yeah.
And they're coming on Karl Marx tour today, that sort of thing, which is nice. I mean, I like that.
Yeah.
And there's a lot of Londoners who come along just for London history. And then there are people from all around the world who've got some communist tradition, some communist past. Might be children of people who were Communist Party members of some country, might be some people from, you know, actively in those countries, still Communist Party members, might be a lot of people from India,
really?
China, former Soviet space.
Do you ever get the opposite? Do you ever get people, I don't know, who are anti-Marxist? Why are you doing this tour to a man?
Yeah, there are people who come along and who say to me, "What do you think about Karl Marx then?" And I'll say, "Well, I think he's quite a clever guy." And then I'll say something like, "I think he was a horrible man." Something like that.
Really?
You know? So you'll get some...
So why have they come on the tour then, I wonder?
Historical interest.
I guess so. Yeah. Obviously, the British Museum, I presume the old school British Museum sort of plays its part in this story.
Yeah, there is a room in the British Museum, which is the Enlightenment Gallery now, and it used to be the King's Library. And that is where Marx would have studied in those years. But then later, in 1857, they built the Round Reading Room, and that's where Marx famously wrote Das Kapital and, you know, carried on most of his latter years of research and writing.
Marx wasn't on his own, was he? I mean, he had his family with him and stuff.
Yeah.
Do you mention the family much?
Yeah, we talk about the family and, you know, the tragedy of the lives of the children. But also the joys of their family. You know, they went on big, you know, famously went on long walks. And while Marx was writing Das Kapital, he also invented fairy stories for the children,
really?
Which were sort of associated with his book about, you know, stories about objects, toys. He made a story about a guy called Hans Rockler, who was a magician, who sold his... But he ran a toy shop and he sold his toys to the devil to pay his debts back, which is sort of the Marx story because he constantly was in debt.
are there any? Can you still feel the vestiges of the Soho and the Bloomsbury and that Marx would have known as you walk around those streets? Or does it take a lot of imagination?
Funny enough, you mentioned Meard Street a few minutes ago, and Meard Street is one of the streets where you can sort of see the remnants.
You can still feel it, can't you?
Yeah. But also Soho, by its character, has this grittiness about it, which sort of resembles elements of the disparate lives of people in the Victorian era, wealth and poverty, you know, beggars and, you know, prostitutes and so on, you know. So there are similarities in Soho which continue to this day. You know, the bohemian nature of it, it was a centre of refugees at that time, immigrant communities and that sort of thing.
You're a Sohoite yourself, aren't you? You live there. How do you feel about the place at the moment? Because obviously, you know, we've had lots of sort of Save Soho campaigns and lots of people rightly caring about Soho. I think that's the important part.
I mean, at the moment, right this minute, I'm in a Guardian building in Soho, and right this minute there's a building, Kemp House, you know, after the Grenfell thing. People are worried about that because it's been
that's the 60s
out.
Tower block one.
A monstrosity. I mean, they're doing this underneath the building. There's a hotel being built, and it's just constant bang, 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 and the people in there are suffering and protesting and complaining. So, you know, that element of discontent about the way in which the poor people are treated there, and there are still a lot of poor people in Soho.
I used to take Geoffrey Bernard back to his flat there sometimes back in the 1980s.
Oh, is it right? I mean, yesterday I went outside and it was so loud, I screamed and shouted at the building workers. They did actually stop for a few minutes because it was so noisy. It's like being in a war zone, you know. So, and there's a campaign to save Berwick Street Market and save the character of Soho, and I think that ties in some ways with, you know, with the concepts which Marx had about, you know, disparities of wealth, the struggles against that and so on.
In some senses, though, I guess one of the things about Soho is it's always been a place of refuge, as you pointed out, from literally for refugees and a place where you could be different, you could have different ideas and all of that sort of stuff. And it has also had that rich by poor, cheap by jowl, hasn't it? That's been part of the nature. I mean, the danger is that you end up excluding the poor, I guess.
That's right. And funny enough, you had one of the stories in Francis Wheen's book about Marx is that at the end of his life, he meets up with Queen Victoria's emissary and discusses with her for about 3 hours on behalf of Queen Victoria's eldest daughter.
Right.
And that takes place in St. James's Club in Piccadilly. So you've got this mixture that Marx himself had as well, that he associated with quite wealthy people.
Yeah, I mean, Engels was a factory owner, wasn't he?
That's right. Yeah.
Did Engels come down to Soho?
Yeah, Engels lived in Soho for a little while. He lived opposite the, what's now the Van Hems pub.
Right.
Above the Dutch House. Sign restaurant, yeah.
Right.
There was a building there he lived in for about a year or so. Yeah, and he would come regularly to visit Marx in London, yeah.
When do you do the tour, and how does it work?
It's every Sunday at 11 o'clock outside.
That's 11 in the morning. This is Soho. We have to ascertain these matters.
11 in the morning is okay, even if you've got a rough head. It meets at the Criterion Theatre, outside the Criterion Theatre in Piccadilly. We go through the streets of Soho, and then we finish either, like I said, Greek Street or the British Museum.
And is there a website or anything like that?
Yeah, markswalks.com.
Hey, Koku, thank you very, very much.
You're very welcome.